విద్వేషం అకరోత్ కస్మాత్ Translation of Vidura required, why was Daksha was so affectionate towards his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who was the best among the gentle? Why did he neglect his daughter Sati? Report in the second chapter of the fourth canto, the cause of the dissension between Lord Shiva and Daksha, which was due to a great sacrifice arranged by Daksha for pacification in the entire universe, is explained. Lord Shiva is described here as the best of the gentle because he is not envious of anyone. He's equal to all living entities, and all the good qualities are present in his personality. The word Shiva means all auspicious. No one can be an enemy of Lord Shiva's, for he is so peaceful and renounced that he does not even construct a house for his residence, but lives under a tree, always detached from all worldly things. The personality of Lord Shiva symbolizes the best gentleness. Why then was Daksha, who offered his beloved daughter to such a gentle personality, inimical towards Lord Shiva so intensely that Sati, the daughter of Daksha and wife of Lord Shiva, gave up her body? Text 2. Lord Shiva, the spiritual master, the entire world is free from enmity. He is a peaceful personality and is always satisfied in himself. He is the greatest among the demigods. How is it possible that Daksha could be inimical towards such an auspicious personality? Purport, Lord Shiva is described here as Charachara Guru, the spiritual master of all animate and inanimate objects. He is sometimes known as Bhutanath, which means the worshipable deity of the dull heaven. Bhuta also sometimes taken to indicate the ghosts. Lord Shiva takes charge of reforming persons who are ghosts and demons, not to speak of others who are godly. Therefore, he is the spiritual master of everyone, both the dull and demoniac and the highly learned Vaishnavas. It is also stated, Vaishnavana Yatha Sambhu. Sambhu, Lord Shiva, is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. On one hand, he is the worshipable object of the dull demons. On the other hand, he is the best of all Vaishnavas or devotees. And he has a sampradaya called the Rudra Sampradaya. Even if he is an enemy or sometimes angry, such a personality cannot be the object of envy. So Vidura, in astonishment, asked why he was taken as such, especially by Daksha. Daksha is also not an ordinary person. Rajapati in charge of fathering population, and all his daughters are highly elevated, especially Sati. The word Sati means the most chaste. Whenever there is a consideration of chastity, Sati, this wife of Lord Shiva and daughter of Daksha, is considered first. Vidura, therefore, was astonished. Daksha is such a great man, he thought, and is the father of Sati. Lord Shiva is the spiritual master of everyone. How then could there be possibility? Could there possibly be so much enmity between them that Sati, the most chaste goddess, could give up her body because of their quarrel? Text 2, my dear Maitreya, to part with one's life is very difficult. Will you kindly explain to me how such a son-in-law and father-in-law could quarrel so bitterly that the great goddess Sati could give up her life? The sage Maitreya said, in a former time, the leaders of the universal creation performed a great sacrifice in which all the great sages, philosophers, demigods, and fire gods assembled with their followers. Wherefore, upon being asked by Vidura, the sage Maitreya began to explain the cause of misunderstanding between Lord Shiva and Daksha, because of which the goddess Sati gave up her body. Thus begins the short history of a great sacrifice performed by the leaders of the universal creation, namely Marichi, Daksha, and Shishta. These great personalities arranged for a great sacrifice for which demigods like Indra and the fire gods assembled with the followers. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva were also present. When Daksha, the leader of the Prajapatis, entered the assembly, his personal bodily luster as bright as the effulgence of the sun, the entire assembly was illuminated and all the assembled persons became insignificant. Presence. Influenced by his personal bodily lustre, all the fire gods and other participants in that great assembly With the exception of Lord Brahma and Shiva, he gave their own sitting places and stood in respect for Daksha. Daksha was adequately welcomed by the president of the great assembly, Lord Brahma. After offering Brahma respect, Daksha, by the order of Brahma, properly took his seat. Before taking his seat, however, Daksha was very much offended to see Lord Shiva sitting and not showing him any respect. At that time, Daksha became greatly angry and his eyes glowing, he began to speak very strongly against Lord Shiva. Wherefore, Lord Shiva, being the son-in-law of Daksha, was expected to show his father-in-law respect by standing with the others. But because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are the principal demigods, their positions are greater than Daksha's. Daksha, however, could not tolerate this, and he took it as an insult by his son-in-law. Previously also, he was not very much satisfied with Lord Shiva, for Shiva looked very poor and was niggardly in dress. All sages, Brahmins, and fire gods present, please hear me with attention, for I speak about the manners of gentle persons. I do not speak out of ignorance or envy. Wherefore, in speaking against Lord Shiva, Daksha tried to pacify the assembly by presenting in a very tactful way that he was going to speak about the manners of gentle persons, although naturally this might affect some unmannerly upstarts, and the assembly might be unhappy because they did not want even unmannerly persons to be offended. In other words, he was in complete knowledge that he was speaking against Lord Shiva in spite of Lord Shiva's spotless character. As far as envy is concerned, from the very beginning he was envious of Lord Shiva. Therefore, he could not distinguish his own particular envy. Although he spoke like a man in ignorance, he wanted to cover his own statements by saying he was not speaking from impudent and envious reasons. Translation of Vidura said, why was Daksha, who was so affectionate towards his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the gentle? Why did he neglect his daughter Sati? So in the previous chapter, it was in the history or the genealogy that was listed, Sati was mentioned as married to Daksha, and that she had no children because she gave up her life. So now the question is asked, why did that happen? Why did Daksha neglect his daughter, and why did he insult Lord Shiva? And consequently, why did Sati give up her life? So this relates the story of the quarrel that arose and the sacrifice and the death of Daksha by getting his head cut off, etc. And the death of Sati, which is part of this history at the beginning of the day of Brahma and Swayambhu Manvantara. So here we find the beginning of the story in which Daksha shows his pride in front of all the sages and the devatas. Though he is a descendant, one of the first descendants from in the day of Brahma, still, we see he has some fault. Shiva, of course, has no fault because he's actually the Supreme Lord. He may appear to have faults, and therefore, he is not put in the same position as Vishnu or Krishna. Of course, Krishna may also appear to have faults by the envy of ordinary people, but Shiva is more likely to get criticized because of his conduct. So why is Lord Shiva more criticized than Vishnu or Krishna? So there are many reasons for this, all stemming from the fact that he associates with Tamagun, and Tamagun is the most criticized guna. We have three gunas, and of the three, sattva is considered the best, and Tamagun is considered the worst. Of course, in from the spiritual point of view, all the gunas are bad because they're all sources of bondage in the material world. Nevertheless, sattva is taken as superior because that is the door to spiritual knowledge. It is the basis of Dharma. And of course, the Lord Himself propagates Dharma on earth. So Sattva Guna is preferable, and we see that Vishnu is in charge of Sattva. So that is not much of an obstacle, even though Vishnu is beyond Sattva Guna. There is no contradiction that he supports the principles of Sattva and Dharma, etc. But Shiva, who is another form of the Lord, is responsible for Tamagun. He associates with Tamagun also, appears to, and he seems also to pick up some of the qualities of Tamagun. For that reason, he gets criticized. So how is he associated with Tamagun? Of course, he causes destruction. Destruction is Tamagun. Creation is Rajagun. Maintenance is Sattvagun. So he is in charge of destruction. And though he may not personally do it in all cases, he may get his assistants to do it. So therefore you have a whole bunch of assistants who also involve in destructive activities. So that itself is a cause of criticism. Why destroy everything? So he's in charge of destructive activities. And he associates with Tamagun people in order to raise them up in the gunas. Just as the Supreme Lord associates with the Devatas, because they are sattvic, and he wants to institute Dharma, so he associates with the Devatas, becomes visible to them, and helps them. So Shiva associates with the people in Tamagun. So often the demons and the ghosts and other beings are his associates. So this also does not look so good from the sattvic point of view, so he gets criticized for that. And he may also even partake of Tamagun places. Of course, in Kailash, he is in a very good position of great sattva under the banyan tree in the Himalayas. But in many cases, we see him sitting where they burn the dead bodies. And he's got ashes from the dead bodies smeared all over his body. So this is Tamagun. The place where they burn bodies is a Tamagun place, and the ashes are Tamagun. If you go to the place where they burn the bodies, then after that you have to take a bath and purify yourself. But he sits there and meditates like a tantra. And tantra also is a Tamagun. So in this way also he'll get criticized by people in sattva as being very low or whatever. So from the material point of view, he may get criticized. And therefore, Daksha takes this opportunity to criticize him because of such apparent tamasic actions and qualities. But we also know that Shiva is non-different from Vishnu. So how is it possible that he can be tamagunish? So the answer is he is not. Now, sometimes in the Bhagavatam, it even says Lord Shiva is affected by Tamagun or whatever. But the explanation of the acharyas is no, he's not really affected. He's apparently affected, but because of his close association with those gunas. But actually he isn't. And that is the case of Shiva, who is the Supreme Lord. Now, if Shiva is a jiva, then that's different. Sometimes he is a jiva. But in the case of being the Supreme Lord, there's no possibility that he can be affected by Tamagun. So it's only apparent, it's a covering. So we can take this as the pastime of Lord Shiva. He acts in this way and associates with Tamagun because that is his job in the material world. Just as Brahma has the job of creating the material world, and so he does that. That is the order given by the Supreme Lord. So we cannot criticize Lord Brahma for being passionate because he's doing his job. So, Shiva acts in this way, not in all cases, but in some cases he has this apparent tamasic aspect to him. So he is likely to get criticized by ignorant people, people who are seeing in terms of the gunas. But we should understand that actually he is beyond the gunas and not touched. Because of this very close association with the gunas, his aspect as the Supreme Lord becomes more covered than with other forms of the Lord. For instance, we have Kapila or Dattatreya, who don't manifest so much of the great qualities of the Lord. They're the Lord and the manifest qualities. But nevertheless, they do not associate with Tamagun. So the qualities of sattva and other things and their spiritual qualities will manifest. The qualities of the Lord will manifest more. But the qualities in Lord Shiva do not manifest so much. So he's considered to be, therefore, a lesser manifestation, not classified as avatar or the Supreme Lord in the same way as the others. So nevertheless, we shouldn't criticize Lord Shiva for his apparent acts, which look like they contradict normal standards. So here Daksha actually does this. He begins to criticize him. Though Daksha should understand the position of Lord Shiva, since he was also invited to the sacrifice. On the other hand, because he is the son-in-law, therefore Daksha is in a superior position, technically speaking, from that point of view. And therefore he feels himself superior. And he feels he has a right to criticize Lord Shiva for his conduct. So he completely misunderstands the position of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva becomes his son-in-law. That does not lower his position by any means. From a material point of view, yes. But from a spiritual point of view, no. So this indicates that Daksha actually was inferior. He was seeing in terms of material qualities, material relationships. And so he is blinded to the real nature of Lord Shiva. So at the same time, because of his position and pride, he tries to cover up his fault, which Prabhupada here mentions as envy. He has envy of Lord Shiva, but he covers that up very nicely by his speech. So he speaks in a very sane way to begin with. He presents his arguments in a very rational way. But as we will see, they're actually faulty. So from this we can learn that simply the appearance of words is not enough to win an argument or to convince a person. We should not just see how the words are presented. We should actually see whether it is truthful or not. So Daksha, unfortunately, was clouded in his intelligence, therefore he could not see the truth. But he spoke very nicely, and he convinced many people. Others were not convinced. And therefore, as a result of this, a big argument eventually broke out. We'll see that Shiva, on the other hand, was not attached to anything. So at the end of this big argument, actually, he didn't say anything, he was silent, and he left. But his followers began fighting with the followers of Daksha, and this was a big problem. So we see that Lord Shiva, in spite of being criticized by Daksha, he didn't respond with hatred or anything. So as was mentioned here by Vidura, he actually had very good qualities. He is the best of people with good qualities. Whereas Daksha showed bad qualities, even though he speaks very nicely, actually, he was showing bad qualities. So Shiva was in a much higher position, we can see from this particular incident. In each universe we know there is expansions of Shiva, and there within each universe itself there is Ekadasa Rudras. There are 11 forms of Rudra. So yes, there are many expansions of Lord Shiva. and for Shivas. But of course, if this is the Supreme Lord, then it is expansion. It's just like Vishnu has avatars that expand into the universe, so Shiva expands himself also. In the case of Brahma, he is a Jiva, so therefore there will be different Jivas in the universe taking the case of post of Brahma. But sometimes a Jiva becomes Shiva in a particular universe also. It's also possible. And the Supreme Lord can also become Brahma.
Shiva is there with all the ghosts.
Do
those ghosts pray to
Shiva
to get another body?
Do they?
Do the ghosts pray to Shiva to get another body?
I wouldn't know. They're in the mode of ignorance, so they follow Lord Shiva, but their mode of worship and whatever, that I don't know about. Obviously, they're covered by ignorance, so we cannot really give good instructions to them. So therefore, we see his followers here also were not of very good quality because they also fought. Lord Shiva was very tolerant, but his followers were not. So they don't necessarily take good instructions.
But materially, he's a very powerful living entity, and people worship him to get all purposes.
Yeah, Lord Shiva, of course, has great powers. Therefore, he's not considered to be a Jiva. He actually is the Supreme Lord, and he does have powers. Compared to Vishnu or the avatars or Krishna, he does not manifest those powers to the same degree. Now, of course, in the material world, bestowing material things may look very like a powerful thing, but we see the devatas can also do that. So bestowing material benedictions is not such a great power after all. But Lord Shiva is very easily pleased, so if he gives things, so then people think he's very, very powerful for that reason. But giving things in the material world is not such a great power after all, it's material things.
So is it that the people who worship Lord Shiva without any expectation, they give up their false ego because he's
In Satvagun, one is advised to worship the devatas without any material results. That is sattvic worship. So in other words, one prays to the devatas, worships them, but one does not ask for things from them. So that is beneficial for people. At the same time, they should also realize that all these forms are not independent of Supreme Lord. If they think they're all separate from the Supreme Lord, that is offensive to Vishnu. So that also will not give good results. So they also have to understand that all these different forms are dependent on Vishnu. If they do that and they worship, they can advance by that. So therefore, Shiva's in charge of false ego, and they can get rid of false ego by that. Therefore, he's also considered to be the presider over liberation. Though he cannot give liberation independently, he presides over liberation. Because when we get rid of false ego, we get liberation.
So can the devotees worship Lord Shiva just to give up the false ego?
But not independently of Vishnu.
But in Shiva temples, they don't worship the murti of Shiva, but they worship Linga.
Yeah.
Why is
it? I don't know, it's not mentioned. There are forms of Shiva also. You see some in North India sometimes. Not so common. Well, yeah, Shiva is also head of a Vaishnava Sampradaya, a Rudra Sampradaya. In that position, he's worshipped as a devotee, respected as a devotee, and his instructions and teachings are also worshipping Vishnu. So if one worships Shiva with that intention, fine, just like we worship devotees or whatever. And the same with Lord Brahma, he is the head of the Sampradaya also. But we're not worshipping Brahma for some material benedictions who went to Saptaloka. We respect him as the head of a Vaishnava Sampradaya. So we worship Shiva in that way as a devotee of the Lord, there is no problem for that. But nevertheless, prominence will be given to worship of the Lord himself. So therefore the people in the Rudra Sampradaya are worshippers of the Supreme Lord, Krishna.